It's always been a little troubling to me as a Chicago Bears fan that the liturgical color for the fall is green. So, you know, this summer, you know, our banner committee, you know, led by Laura Vlaming, Chicago Bear family fan, I thought, you know, they're going to do new banners for the fall, for the green. So I thought, boy, that is great. And of course, look up there now. They must have known you were coming, Carrie, because there's Minnesota Viking purple in the midst of the green. So my goal for this year as your pastor is to develop a new liturgical season for which the color is orange. It's been about 9 years since my co-pastor and bride, Kathy, gently encouraged me, gently, to get a hearing test. Apparently, I'd been turning the volume higher and higher and higher on the television, and it was getting irritating. It didn't seem too loud to me, but I agreed. I went for the test just to get a good baseline, and my audiologist looked at my test results and immediately impressed me by telling me what I instantly knew is true, even though I'd never realized it before. She said, when you're listening to someone, she said, sometimes you have to listen to the whole sentence before you can go back and fill in some of the words that you've missed. You're right, I said. I do that all the time. And she said, you're reading lips, even though you don't know it. No, I'm not, I said, and then I realized, why is it that I'm not quite looking people in the eye when I talk to them? It's because I'm looking at their mouth. Right again, I told her. And so it was that I came to have hearing aids. These are quite remarkable little devices. They make digital calculations that every second can number in the millions. And so when I remember to wear them, my hearing is much improved. I don't punctuate every sentence with what? And I can concentrate on actually hearing what people are saying, trying to communicate, instead of just trying to decipher the word. So I am very grateful to my audiologist, Linda Riemensnyder, and our church family can be grateful to her also, because Linda donated the hearing loop that encircles our sanctuary that allows anybody with a hearing aid, if you have a T-coil or a telephone setting, you can click in and you get our audio right inside your ear. Or you can use those ear pieces also, if you'd like to do that. But we're grateful to her for making that possible in our sanctuary. Now, our gospel story today is rather remarkable because it's plain that Jesus needed a hearing aid. So, hear the word of God as it comes to us from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we're actually starting with verse 24. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house, and he did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Now, one of the reasons we can trust the gospel is stories like this one. Stories like this one that, if I were editing the scripture, I'd throw this out. I mean, here Jesus refuses to heal someone purely because it's the daughter of a Gentile woman, a foreign woman. He won't heal this child because she's not Jewish. Now, Jesus, of course, is a Jewish rabbi. He's a Jewish teacher who is steeped in the Jewish tradition, and he has come to fulfill the promises of the Jewish prophets. This doesn't look very good at all. But this unnamed woman, who has come to be known as the Syrophoenician woman because of her homeland, she will not be deterred. She will be heard. And so she gives Jesus a hearing aid. Not one of these little things you put in the ear, but a hearing aid into the form of an answer that makes Jesus listen to her. Not just her, but also to hear the Jewish prophets who themselves announce that the promise of God is not only for the Jews, but for all people. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the fall from the table, she says. And Jesus, the one whom we call Lord and Savior, the Son of God, realizes that she is right and he is not. Now, people have sidestepped this story, danced around it, explained it, avoided the implications, because it's rather awkward for us Jesus followers to have an unnamed foreign woman correct the Savior, and then to have him freely admit it. But Jesus hears her. He fully hears her, even though her words effectively and publicly point out a larger understanding of his own tradition. And then apparently in a heartbeat, Jesus changes his response and heals the woman's daughter. I used to be interested, maybe even concerned about such matters, about finding a way to explain how we can call Jesus Lord and Savior when he says such things. But these days, I'm actually much more impressed that the one we seek to follow was really able to hear someone who thought differently than he did. That he was able to welcome a truth that challenged him. That he was able to change the way he acted because of what he heard. I find all that to be holy indeed. So, if Jesus needed a hearing aid, my guess is that at one time or another, we all need a hearing aid. And not, again, not a machine necessarily that'll do a million calculations every second. But rather, we need a hearing aid. We need someone who will help us hear the truth. The truth about ourselves, often. And thus, aid us in seeing ourselves and our world differently. If Jesus needed a hearing aid to hear the Syrophoenician woman, then chances are none of us are really listening, really hearing each other all the time. Now, at first, it was actually a great benefit for me to be able to tell Kathy that I actually needed hearing aids. There's a reason all these years, Kath, that you feel I haven't been hearing you. And you know, it's true. There are times I really didn't hear her. I really didn't hear her. No wonder it seemed as though I wasn't really paying attention to her. But the whole situation sort of raised the discussion. I had to admit that really, though my poor hearing did sometimes, even many times, keep me from hearing, it did not explain all the times. There really are times when I'm not paying attention. And sometimes it takes a hearing aid to remind me how important it is for me to pay attention to the one with whom I share my life. That's true of our spouses. It's also true of others closest to us. Sometimes we need a hearing aid to realize that our child's dislike of school may be masking a bully or a learning disability or a fear of failure. Sometimes we need a hearing aid to recognize that the constant demand of a toddler for our time and our attention is their desperate need to be reassured that they are loved. Sometimes we need a hearing aid to remember that that teen rebellion that drives a parent crazy is the only way they can get out of our shadow and figure out how much of us they want to copy and how much of themselves they want to make new. And sometimes teenagers need a hearing aid. Are you listening back there? To realize that their limits that their parents put upon them really are expressions of love. We're in the midst of another ugly presidential campaign, and we probably all should be equipped with hearing aids so that we can realize that the Democrats do not really want to spend the country into oblivion, and Republicans do not really want to make poor people ever, ever poorer. Surely, we Christian folks should know enough about our fallen human nature to realize that pretty nearly all of us will put the very best spin on what we think and the very worst spin on what those who disagree with us think. You know, once I saw an interesting formal discussion where before anyone could state their own opinion, they had to restate the opinion of the other person first to their satisfaction. Before I could say what I think, I had to say what you think, and you had to agree with me that I had explained your position fairly and accurately. Boy, wouldn't the presidential debates be different if that rule were in effect? And it's not a bad idea for a family discussion either. And sometimes we need hearing aids to hear the voices of those whom the gospel would say are the least and the lost and the last among us. To hear those who are crying out for justice, for bread, crying out sometimes just for the dignity of being heard. Often the voice that challenges us the most is the one that lets us really hear the truth. The one that challenges our own opinion is the one speaking the truth we need to hear. And that's what Jesus found out that day. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, found out with the Syrophoenician woman. And this story about Jesus and the hearing aid that she gave him actually makes me want to be like him all the more. Now, that's not the end of our gospel story. You may have noticed there's another story here. Listen to what happens to Jesus next. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," which is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On the face of it, it's a healing miracle. Jesus helping someone get their ears to work again. But actually, it's more than that. Think of what it was like to be deaf in that time, in that place. In that society, even more than ours, to be deaf, not to be able to hear, not to be able to speak, meant to be excluded, totally excluded. With no way to communicate other than some simple sign language, a deaf person was left out of life, left out of the community. So what Jesus offers this man is not just a hearing aid, but also a restoration, to become part of a family again, to be part of a community again, to be part of life again. Sometimes when we really use our hearing aids, when we really hear the truth, that enables us to help others to hear too, to restore others to family, to community, to life. So they really hear the good news of the gospel. We can tell our wives or our husbands, "Not only am I listening, but I'm paying attention to what you're saying because you matter to me." We can respond to a child's tantrum, not with a tantrum of our own, but with whatever it is he needs to feel secure. We can hear behind someone's defiant words the need to be forgiven. And we can speak too with our actions, to give the man without a home not just shelter, but the dignity every person deserves. To give the woman with Alzheimer's your full attention because she's a child of God, even though you know she won't remember this in 5 minutes. To hear the Syrophoenicians among us, those who are different, the immigrant or the Muslim, whomever, and just to discover that their story may not be so different than our own. We can use our hearing and recognize that God has given us both the call to individual responsibility and the call to care for our brothers and sisters, and that both of those are equally compelling. That doesn't take a million calculations a second. That takes a different kind of hearing aid, the kind Jesus himself once needed, the kind Jesus himself can give us. The willingness to hear the truth and then to act on it. What a difference that can make in our world, in our families, in our own souls. Pray with me. Jesus, so often you said, let those who have ears, let them hear. Lord, let us hear and then act accordingly. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen. Let us worship God now with our gifts and with song.